Budget and Economic Outlook Work Session, Wednesday, April 16th.
Rock and roll.
Morning, commissioners.
We'll hold it down and get started here. Thank you.
Commissioners, as we are about to report to you on the first quarter of 2014 and begin the kickoff of another budget process, I'd like to take just a moment to reflect on some of the ground we have covered getting here. 2013 was certainly a year of change and transition for Clark County government, with possibly more yet to come as our freeholders prepare their charter proposal. While change meant the loss of some experienced managers, that loss spurred the challenge of flattening the organizational structure to eliminate a number of executive positions, saving over $1 million per biennium without affecting the frontline workers who provide direct services to our citizens. The change presented an opportunity for a cohesive cooperative finance team to bring a holistic focus to our financial management. This has already resulted in a responsible fund balance policy and disciplined financial advice in achieving that policy's goals. In 2014, the finance team will begin the work of creating a comprehensive financial plan for the county's future stability. I want to personally thank the auditor and the treasurer for their support in making this possible. Last year, we changed our view of managing our parks. Although it is still too soon to tell what savings we will see this year as a result of some startup costs, I'm very happy to report that the 2015-16 baseline budget for parks will reflect a savings overall of $760,000 across the entire program and savings of over $1 million to the general fund. Heath Henderson, Bill Berkey, Lori Pierce, and their staff have done an amazing job in handling the transition and creating the savings with no reductions in park maintenance or services. Last year, uncertainty over the potential impacts of the commercial building fee waiver program prompted us to take a very conservative approach of budgeting for a worst-case scenario of $3.6 million of general fund. That worst case has not come to pass, and to date the impacts of the fee waivers have been contained within the normal subsidy provided to the building fund. This allowed me to return $1.8 million to the general fund reserves in our recent supplemental, and I anticipate being able to do the same with the other half of the $3.6 million at the end of this year. Despite the changes and challenges and the structural deficit, we continue to manage through and make progress in meeting some critical needs, such as our recent additions to the Sheriff's Department. Thanks to the efforts of the management team, our independent elected officials, their hardworking staff, we are turning challenge and change into positive outcomes. In a few weeks, we will officially kick off the 15-16 budget process and open the budget system to departments. We started building our baseline with a $9.7 million gap between our forecast revenues and expenses in the general fund. Thanks to the efforts of the budget staff and the expertise of the finance team, I believe we will finally be able to bring you a balanced baseline budget for general fund. While there will be no room for growth in 15-16, we should be able to meet the board's mandate of maintaining financial flexibility, maintaining current service levels, and achieving our fund balance goals. I wish I could tell you that the challenges are behind us, but some still remain. However, I'm confident we will continue to find the ingenuity and staff expertise to find solutions that work. And with that, Adriana will give you her report on where we are today.
And good morning, Commissioners. Adriana Pata with the Budget Office. And this is our routine quarterly budget and economic outlook, which has two parts to it. We review general fund revenue and expense trends. We look at where we are biennium to date compared to our projections. and we forecast out where we'll end the biennium with revenues, expenses, and fund balance. And the second part is the outlook of the national and regional economy, because economic trends are directly relevant to our revenues and expenses. And I will start with a roadmap of today's work session. We will review the current general fund for 2013-2014, the current budget plan, the spending plan, and the revenue forecast, which includes the latest updates which we've done in the spring of 2014. And then we will review the performance of actual revenues and expenses through March of 2014. We'll then talk about where we expect to end the biennium by December 2014 in terms of revenues, expenses, and fund balance. And we'll move on to discuss the national and local economic outlook. And the presentation looks a little bit different than what you've seen before. For many years, I just want to take a moment and thank PIO. Our PIO office has helped us tremendously over the years with really nice graphics for our presentations. These are, from now on, we're doing our own presentation and we'll use more in-house charts. We're very respectful of their time and effort, and we're trying to maximize staff time. So I just want to thank them for the wonderful graphics. My graphics won't be as good, but we'll do them in-house, so this will look a little bit different. We're also trying to simplify our presentation and stick to our core point as much as possible. As my graduate school advisor used to say, one point per paper, one point per thesis, one point per lifetime. Make your point and go out. So the point for today's presentation is basically that we're projecting to end the biennium with a fund balance of 47 days, possibly more. We could possibly reach our ideal target as calculated by the current fund balance policy and by the auditor's office, which would be 52 days. It is possible that we will be there. We're projecting 47 right now based on certain knowns, but we could be at 52, and that's the point for today's presentation. Basically, to give you a summary preview, our current general fund budget after the spring 2014 updates includes $11 million from unassigned reserve. That's the part of fund balance that we care about, the unassigned reserves. And the current forecast expects to use only 4.2 of that $11 million that's currently budgeted to be used from unassigned fund balance, which puts reserves at 47 days projected, even more possibly, and we'll talk about the reasons for that. And turning to the summary of our national and local economic outlook, we're expecting the steady improvement to continue, and that's consistent with our budgeted revenues and expenses forecast assumptions. So to start with the general fund part of our presentation, our current general fund planned expenditures are $314 million, and those equal revenues. We are required to have a balanced budget, so revenues equal expenses. Of these $314 million planned expenditures, $298.3 million are funded by ongoing revenue. We then have 4.7 that's coming out of dedicated reserves, and that includes money set aside previously for dedicated specific purposes. What we have in there is the Tidemark replacement system. They're all one-times. Tidemark replacement system, the sheriff's record system, the event center one-time fund balance support of $1 million for the event center, and one-time money for Cape Bonneville, which is dedicated revenue that went to a specific fund just set aside. And then we have $11 million. This is the $11 million that we talked about that is coming out of unassigned fund balance that's planned and budgeted to be used this biennium. This is what projections look like. Our revenues are on track. We update our revenues with every single budget change opportunity that we have for our supplementals. We continuously update our revenues to reflect the latest. They're currently on track. Property taxes for this year haven't come in yet. We get them in two big installments in the spring and in the fall, so there's nothing to report yet on property tax right now. Sales taxes on forecast, we've seen an 8 to 9% increase last year. Our current forecast for the long term is more around 3 to 4%. Right now, the sales tax revenues are on track. And then all other revenues, we're reporting them as being on track. If you actually look at them, they're about $1 million behind. However, we expect to have equivalent savings on the expense budget side. That's why we're reporting them on track. And to give you examples why that is, for example, there could be a big grant that we have. And we're doing some of the work throughout this biennium. But not all of the work will happen this biennium. There will be a carry forward into next biennium. Therefore, not all of the revenue will come in this biennium, and not all of the expense budget will be spent. So it's a wash. So actually, if you look at the general ledger versus the forecast, you will see that all other revenues are about $1 million behind, but we will have equivalent expenses that will not get spent. So we're reporting them on track. And then our expense budget, what we're seeing is about $3.6 million of actual savings through March 2014. And we are projecting to see $6.2 million through December of 2014. And this is mostly what we're reporting here, savings from salaries and benefits, such as vacancies, for example. And that puts us, this is the projection for unassigned fund balance. We started the biennium in January of 2013 with 62 days of fund balance, $24.5 million. It actually was, according to the official books, $24.2 million, but in the latest supplemental, we've reduced the amount in assigned fund balance assigned for tide mark replacement by a small amount. So it's 24.5, 62 days, beginning unassigned fund balance for the biennium. We've included $11 million currently budgeted to be spent out of unassigned fund balance for 13-14. We're projecting the 6.2 in savings and the revenues on track, which leaves us by the end of the biennium with a projected 47 days of fund balance. However, savings could be greater. As Bob mentioned, we've already recognized that of the $3.6 million budgeted for the fee holiday, we didn't have to spend 1.8. We've already recognized those savings in the current, in the last supplemental. It might be the case that we have more savings to add to fund balance, the other half of it. There's also a portion of the department's budget that we call controllables. These are professional services, pencils and pens and so on, where there could be savings as well. These are completely under departmental control, and they have all until the end of the biennium to make those expenses. So we can't count on those until the end of the biennium, but we may get additional savings from those departmental budgets from under expending that part of their budget. So that's why we're saying 47 days, but we could potentially hit the 52 days because of those reasons by the end of the biennium. And that concludes the current status of revenues and expenses for the general fund and projections through the end of the biennium. Turning to the economic outlook, the global and the national economy is still under recovery. We're seeing growth in the U.S. economy, which is helping the world recovery. We've had a temporary slowdown because of the bad weather that causes disruptions in the supply chain. Construction projects are delayed. Consumer spending is delayed because of the bad weather. So there's been a temporary slowdown there. But overall, we're seeing the world economy growing steadily. Projections are improving. The International Monetary Fund projects 3.7% global growth. The U.S. annual growth rate is at approximately 3%. We're seeing improvements across the board in major indicators like consumer confidence, the housing market indicators, bank lending, and household wealth are all moving in a good direction. And we're seeing things improving in the Eurozone. In the regional and local economy in Clark County, we're seeing strong job growth over the last 12 months. That growth rate has been 3.5%. There were 4,700 jobs added over the last 12 months. Our latest reliable unemployment rate from the state for Clark County is 8.3% for January. And comparing that to January's rate, the U.S. was 7%, and Washington State overall was 6.9%. What's really interesting is that the composition of the county's workforce today is different from what it was when you compare it to 6 years ago at the peak. The county lost 3,400 construction jobs and 1,200 manufacturing jobs, but instead added 3,400 healthcare jobs. So the sectors that are growing, the sector that's really growing and replacing more of the construction and manufacturing is healthcare. Looking at the housing market in Clark County, the inventory was healthy, actually on the low side at 4.6%, at 4.6 months in March of 2014, and that's how much time it would take to sell the current supply of homes on the market at the current sale rate of homes. It's about 4.6 months. Healthy supply is at about 4 to 7 months, where it's higher in the winter and lower in the summer. This is on the low side, but we do expect inventory to increase throughout 2014. And this is based on RMLS data, Regional Multiple Listing Service data. We had a strong first quarter in 2014. The median sale price of a home was $258,400, which was up 7.6% from the same time period in 2013. Closed sales were up 3.4%, pending sales were up 3.8%, new listings were up 5.5%, and the market time was down 9% for homes. The average amount of days a home is on the market before it sells was down 10%.
I'm curious, those are really good numbers. Is that what we predicted, or should I say that that's what you predicted? You've been great weather forecasters for the county. Is this right up par, or is this
We forecast the volume of sales and prices, and we do that for our real estate excise tax revenue. So what's happening in the housing market is very relevant for our real estate excise tax revenue, which is actually used to pay off debt. And we look at both, like I said, volume, and we split it by commercial versus residential. We have seen numbers that are better than our forecast. It's a very volatile market, and what we've seen in 2013 was a big one-time bump. We've had a lot of investor sales and distressed sales, which have really grown numbers. We're actually being more conservative now, and we're projecting no growth, flat for 2014, if you look at our projections. We're still seeing some growth. However, we'll talk about the first quarter. There's been a slowdown in the first quarter, and we'll talk about that when we get to it, and we might see an impact. So right now we're projecting no growth for 14.
No growth
overall for 14. And we have new homes and existing homes, and our revenues and the impact on our revenues is a combination of both. So the existing homes, we're seeing some growth, but the new homes, the permits have slowed down in the first quarter. So overall, we're projecting flat activity between the two in terms of the impact on our revenues. So,
in particular, look at the last bullet, 9.3%.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's different. That's taxable retail sales.
Right.
And
that's one
right.
That's a big number.
Right.
What percentage of our general fund?
17% of our general fund is sales tax revenue. 17%.
70.
Mm-hmm.
No,
17.
17.
1-7.
Oh,
yes.
So because that's a smaller
and, right. And over there, we are projecting 3 to 4% increases for overall for revenue from sales taxes. We've seen 8 to 9% in 2013. Again, one-time big bump.
Okay.
We're projecting 3 to 4% increase there. For real estate excise tax revenue, we're projecting flat revenue for 14. And that's a very volatile revenue. It's seen drops as big as 40%. And
so
then
we don't
right.
expect to see that 9.3% continue through 2014. Stabilizing. So it was
9.3. We're projecting 3 to 4% at this point. It could. It's we're coming off a low base, so the actual percent growth that we're seeing for one time can be really high. So, and especially excise tax has been very, very volatile. But again, we're updating our revenue forecast pretty much with every single budget update. So regularly, at least every 6 months, we're updating depending on what we're seeing in the market. So,
Adriana, we've been kind of targeting commercial and jobs,
mm-hmm.
And you know, reflect that up there.
I was going to talk about commercial in a second. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I don't have it on the slide, but I was going to talk to it. So overall, the housing market is looking better. There's a smaller percentage of investor sales and distressed sales, which is moving more towards the composition of a normal market. Those are positive news. Looking at building permits, this is where we talk about new homes. 2013 was a big bump up year in terms of percenting change. These are countywide data from the Census Bureau. This includes both unincorporated Clark County and other cities. And what the Census Bureau does, they collect data from all the jurisdictions, and then they still have some missing data, and they do some imputation calculations. They only do this for residential. They don't do it for commercial. So what I have up there is just building permits increased 42% for single-family homes in 2013 versus 12, and they were 2.5 times higher for multifamily units versus 2013-14 versus 12. But we've seen a slowdown in the first few months of the year. There's definitely been a slowdown to where, for example, single-family permits issued were down from 238 in January-February of 13 to only 190 and in January-February of 14, and multifamily was pretty much flat in terms of activity. The commercial side, we don't want to look at the number of permits with respect to commercial, because commercial permits can vary enormously from one permit to another. There could be really large projects and really small projects. So what we typically look at is assessed valuation of total permits. And the Census Bureau does not collect or keep data for commercial permits. We do have our own in-house data from community development. And what we've seen there is that activity was up in 13, 47%. The total valuation was up 47% over 12. But we've also seen a slowdown in the first few months of the year. And again, the slowdown has been nationwide. There's been a lot of disruption because of the bad weather in the economy. So we need to see more longer-term trends than just a few months. That's why I'm referring more to 13 versus 12 rather than these first few months of the year. But commercial valuation was down from, I believe, $18 million in the first quarter of last year to $10 million worth of permits issued in terms of valuation in the first quarter of 14. So, and then taxable retail sales were up 9.3% in 2013 versus 2012. The increase was 20% for construction-related sales, which pretty much puts for the unincorporated county was 38%. So that's where most of the construction activity is happening. And that puts pretty much construction sales back at the same level that they were at about 2003. So before the pre-boom and pre-recession years. So again, we're projecting more. We've seen 5 to 6% growth rates in the past, in the peak times. We've seen 5 to 6% on average growth in sales tax. We're now projecting a more conservative 3 to 4%. But we've seen 9.3% last year because, again, we're lifting off a very low bottom and things are picking up. So we're seeing higher percent increases than normal, but it's one time. We're not counting on it for the long term. So that being said, the risks remain. Overall, for the global and national economy, the risks have diminished. They're not as acute, but they remain. We are seeing that the global recovery is uneven among countries. There is growth in the emerging markets that's threatened by tight fiscal condition and capital flow issues. There are remaining concerns such as the danger of low inflation, not so much for the U.S. In the U.S., CPI for March, the annualized rate of inflation would be 2.6% for the year based on the March numbers. It's on the lower side, but not as low. But inflation is a concern for some of the other economies, like in the Eurozone. It's a big concern. And it may seem at a first look that it's a good thing because the price of things doesn't go up, but it can have long-term, if persistent low inflation or deflation can have long-term damaging effects on economies. For example, banks are going to reduce lending because they're not making a profit as much at the low interest rates. The value of assets that people invest in is actually lower. There are many issues. The burden of debt is actually higher because you owe more debt and it's worth less. Money is worth less. So there are lots of concerns outside the U.S. More in the Eurozone, there are concerns about inflation. There's also the burden of public debt, which is an issue for many economies. And here at home, there is still concern about the timing of the Fed's, how fast they're going to slow down their, how they're sustaining and stimulating the economy through purchasing securities. That timing is really important, and whether the market is going to be self-sustainable at that point when the Fed steps out. So those all remain, plus the geopolitical risks, for example, the situation in Ukraine or other risks of war with North Korea or Iran, turmoil in oil-producing countries, all those remain threats out on the horizon. However, the risks have overall diminished, and we're seeing steady growth, which is consistent with our revenue and expense projections at this point. So.
I love when you guys tell the truth.
We just did a quick thing here, kind of a warm beginning, but any questions from anybody here?
Great job. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Is that the recorder? You can hit the button.